Okay, good work to everybody. So nice to see you. We are finishing Chumash Breishis, Sefer Breishis, Parshas Vayechi. What I would like to do actually is similar to something that we did last week, whether you were here or not last week, doesn't make a difference, but I'd like to take a look again at the first Pashtuk of Parshas Vayechi, which we really spent a significant time discussing last Sunday. You'll have one finger on the last pasuk in Parshas Vayigash and one finger on the first pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. If you recall last week, we took a look at the first pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. You could take a look. It is Perek Mem Zayin, pasuk Chavches. And the opening pasuk in the Parsha reads as follows. Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. And Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years total. Vayhi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav, and the years of the life of Yaakov were sheva shanim ve'arba'im u'me'ashana, 147 years total. So if you recall last week, we noted from the Netziv and the Mekdavar, from the Chassam Sofer in his Torah Moshe, and other Achronim as well raised the question as to why the Torah specifically details the amount of years that Yaakov lived in Egypt, totaling 17, if the Torah is about to tell us the total amount of years in the life of Yaakov are 147. Why do I need to know how many years Yaakov lived in Egypt? And especially within the same breath, in the same pasuk, Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana, Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years, and the total years of the life of Yaakov are 147 years. So the Mefarshim and Mefarshei Chumash, specifically more of the Achronim, in the their Mefarshim in Chumash, raised this question as to why the details of the amount of years that Yaakov lived in Egypt. That was a question that we discussed last week, and if you recall, both in Netziv, the Chassam Sofer, I mentioned from the Geshur Achayim of Tokuchinsky, as well as others, noticed that the word Vayechi was a word that really stressed life, that this was the first time that Yaakov finally experienced life. The sense of tranquility, the sense of calm, the sense of naches. The life of Yaakov was one full of trials and tribulations. Esav and Lavan, Dina and Yosef, consistently and constantly being running away, consistently and constantly fighting and battling, whether they're spiritual, emotional, physical wars that were being attacked, etc. Thus, the Torah goes to great length to detail that these 17 years, finally, in the life of Yaakov, were Vayechi. He had that sense of life. So we explained then that Vayechi does not just mean the quantity of years, but rather it's referring to the quality of life. And finally, Yaakov experienced a quality of life that he always wanted. That is what we had mentioned last week. What I'd like to do is look at this pasuk again, and I came across a commentary of another sefer called the Toras Moshe, not the Toras Moshe of the Chassam Sofer, but the Toras Moshe of the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh's name was Rav Moshe Al-Sheikh. Rav Moshe Al-Sheikh was one of the great Kabbalists living in the city of Tzfas, one of the early Kabbalists, and in his work, Toras Moshe, he quotes this pasuk, and this is the opening commentary that he has in his Sefer on Parshas Vayechi, Toras Moshe. He asks the question that we just asked, the question that we addressed last week, why the specificity of the amount of years that Yaakov lived in Egypt, but he asks another six questions on this pasuk and the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. So I'd like to share with you the seven questions total that the Toras Moshe raises, and I'd like to share with you his approach to understanding the first pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, and in my opinion, really, which is the crux of Parshas Vayechi, and really, as you will see momentarily, gives us an insight into Chumash Breishis as we conclude Sefer Breishis, and I think will give us a different insight into how to understand the first of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The first question he asks, and this is an important question, and a question that, again, many Mefarshei Chumash note, and if you look in your Chumash, it's hard to pick up in this question, but if you look in the Sefer Torah that we actually lean from, it's a very blatant and obvious question. That is that this parsha, Parshas Vayechi, is known as a parsha stuma. Now, you know that there are two ways that the Torah is written. There's something called a parsha stuma, and there's something called a parsha psucha. That means that there are different forms of breaking up the Torah. You could break up the Torah with a lengthier break or with a shorter break. The divisions that the Torah gives are not based upon Parshios. Parshios is a separate division, which is not a division that Chazal actually did. Rather, the divisions that we are familiar with, and if you look in your Chumash, you'll see sometimes it says a pei, or sometimes it says a samech, or sometimes you'll just see a break. But the pei and the samech refer to a parsha psucha and a parsha stuma. Parsha psucha expresses a more of a obvious break, a larger break. It's sort of when you're reading a book or writing an essay, so you'll have a very different paragraphs. Parsha psucha is a paragraph. It's a very, very obvious division in chapters, in paragraphs, in spacing. However, a parsha stuma, which literally means sasum, which means closed, is a much shorter break. And if you look in the Chumash or in any Sefer Torah, you'll note that the separation is only on that line itself. So you'll begin the line, you'll have a little bit of a space, and then the line will continue. That's called a Parsha Stuma. And this Parsha, Parshas Vayechi, the separation between Parshas Vayechi and Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Vayechi is unlike any other two Parshios that we have in the Torah. As opposed to when you're moving from any one Parsha to another, Vayetze to Vayishach, Vayishach to Vayeshe, Miketz to Vayigash, and in all of the 53 Parshios in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, you will never find a division of a Parsha Stuma between two Parshios minus Parshios Vayigash and Vayechi. Meaning Parshios Vayechi goes right into Parshios Vayigash, goes right into Parshios Vayechi. There's a one letter break between Parshios Vayigash and Vayechi. So for the Baal Kriya, it's often very hard to find Parshios Vayechi. It actually happened the other day on Monday. We were looking for Parshas Vayechi. We had a hard time finding it because there's no break between Parshas Vayigash and Vayechi minus one letter. No different than really going from one pasuk to another. So this raises the question, why? Why is Parshas Vayechi a Parshas Stuma? And of course, the earliest to raise this question is Rashi. Rashi raises this question, his commentary in Chumash, the first Rashi in Parshas Vayechi says, Lama Parshas Ustuma? You can take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, why is this Parsha a Parshas Stuma? Why is it a closed Parsha? Why is there not a bigger gap? Why is there not a bigger division? Why is there not a bigger break? Why don't we create a larger spacing? Right? You all are familiar with Word. Word has different ways you could space things. So when you go from one Parsha to another, you would imagine that there should be a larger breakage and a larger space between these two Parshas. So Rashi asks the question, why is there no space? Why is there such a minimal space, no different than going from one Pasuk to another? So Rashi says, Lefi shekevan sheniftar Yaakov Avinu. Now that Yaakov has passed away, nistumu einehem velibam sheyisrael mitzaras hashibur, klal yisrael kaviyachol are nistumu, they have been closed, their eyes have been closed, because they are foreshadowing the ultimate shibur. We're going to Egypt, we're going into hard times, we're going to difficulties. Therefore, the stima, the closure on the part of the eyes of the people is represented in the psukim, in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, posthumously and post Yaakov's death. Klal Yisrael go into a state of closure, into a state of some level of agony, and foreshadowing the future, the shibu that they're going into, the difficult years, the hundreds of years that they're going into Egypt for, are being foreshadowed. And thus the Torah expresses the feelings of the Jewish people by the way of writing the Torah sasum and not having many, many spacing in between Vayigash and Vayechi. Then Rashi gives us a second reason. Davar acher, shebikesh legalos esakeitz. Yaakov wished to reveal the end of days. Vinista mimenu, it was taken away from him, it was closed. So here it is, Yaakov Avinu is prepared on his deathbed to reveal the secrets of the end of days of the Jewish people. Bikesh Yaakov legalos esakeitz, Yaakov wished to reveal the end of days. Vinistam mimenu, it was taken away from him. These are the two approaches that Rashi gives to explain why Parshas Vayechi is a Parshas Stuma. However, as I just said, the Torah's Moshe, Rav Moshe Alshech, also asks this question, as you'll see momentarily, has a different approach and a different perspective and a very innovative one to understand why it is that Parshas Vayigash and Vayechi are really one Parsha. There is no separation. There is no division between Vayigash and Vayechi. It's one large Parsha. And he asks the question, why? That's his first question. The second question he asks is, let's compare the last Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash to the first Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. Take careful note. And as I said, put one hand on the last Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, one finger on the first Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, and look at, read the distinction between the two. The last Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, reads as follows. Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim. The Jewish people settled in the land of Egypt. Be'eretz Goshen, in the land, in the dwelling, in the specific area called Goshen. Vaye'achazu ba. Vaye'achazu, Rashi says, Lashon Achiza. They became very attached, acquired, became very, very one with the land. Vayifru vayirbu ma'od, and they were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And the Al-Sheikh raises the question, take a look and compare the last Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash to the first Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, and you note something startling. The last Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash says that the Jewish people settled in the land of Egypt, Be'eretz Goshen, specifically living in the area, in the region called Goshen. Look at the first Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. Vayechi Yaakov, Be'eretz Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Be'eretz Goshen. This is one pasuk after the other. Perek Mem Zayin, the same chapter, chapter 47, Psukim Chav Zayin and Chav Ches 27 and 28. Why is it that the last pasuk in Parshas Vayigash stresses the fact that the Jewish people were settled in the land of Egypt in Eretz Goshen? More specific. As opposed to the first pasuk in Parshas Vayechi stresses the fact that Yaakov was in Eretz Mitzrayim. Now, piggybacking on that question, note the last pasuk in Parshas Vayigash says that the Jewish people, Vayeshiv Yisrael, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'eretz Goshen, that the Jewish people were settled in Mitzrayim in Eretz Goshen, as opposed to the first pasuk, which says that Yaakov was in Mitzrayim. It doesn't say that Yaakov was in Goshen. Asks the Al-Sheikh, why the distinction between the last pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, number one, Yisrael, and number two, Be'eretz Goshen? And here in Parshas Vayechi, in the first pasuk, we note, stress, and articulate that it's Yaakov in Mitzrayim and not in Eretz Goshen, and the people, the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael, are missing. Another issue that the Al-Sheikh raises on the last pasuk in Parshas Vayigash is the word Vaye'achazuba. That word is an uncommon word. Not so used, certainly not in Chumash Breishis, in Sefer Breishis, but Vayeachazuba is such a difficult word that Rashi doesn't even translate it. Take a look, Rashi, the last Rashi in all of Parshas Vayechi, Vayeachazuba, Rashi says, Lashon Achiza. It's a language of grabbing, of holding tight. Le'echoz, Achuza, is a language of acquiring. Well, what did the Jewish people acquire? Now, the Targum says that they acquired property in Eretz Goshen, but asks the Al-Sheikh, what is this explanation, and how do we understand the word achiza, achuza, vayeachazuba? The Al-Sheikh continues and asks the next question, why does the Torah need to tell us that? What's so unique? And why do we need to know that the Jewish people acquired property, acquired land? What's so significant about that? And why does the Torah go to great length to say that the Jewish people acquired property? Furthermore, now the Al-Sheikh asks on the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, the question that we asked last week, why distinguish between the years that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim and the total amount of years of his life? That's the question that we began with and we asked last week. Why stress 17 years in Egypt and 147 years total? And then the Al-Sheikh says, if that is so significant, I'll ask another question. Why do we not calculate the amount of years that Yaakov lived in other places? We all know that Yaakov traveled throughout Israel and left Israel to go to Mitzrayim, and lived in many different areas. Why dafka does the Torah tell us that he lived in Egypt for 17 years, and not tell us how long he lived in? Vayetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. How long did Yaakov live in Be'er Sheva? Anybody know? Torah doesn't tell us. How long did he live in Haran? How long did he live when he lived by his uncle Lavan? Again, the Torah doesn't tell us. We know based upon calculations. But the Torah doesn't tell us that. Why here in the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayechi does it stress the amount of years that he lived in Egypt? Finally, the Al-Sheikh asks another question that is on the opening word in the Parsha. Vayechi, Yaakov, Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esreshana, Vayechi Yemei Yaakov. And if anybody's familiar with basic Hebrew grammar, it should say not Vayehi, but Vayehiyu. And it were, it was, those were the amount of years of Yaakov. Vayehi is not the right word to use. That's the singular. Vayehiyu is the plural. If we're talking about 147 years, the word that should be used to describe the amount of years that Yaakov lived is not Vayehi. Vayehi is a Lashon Yachid, a language of the singular, of the one. Really, it should say Vayihiyu, and it was the amount in the Lashon of Rabbim, plural. Finally, the last question that the Al-Sheikh asks in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, in the very same Pasuk. The Pasuk reads, Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvaser Shana, Vayehi Me Yaakov Shnei Chayav, Sheva Shanim Va'arba'im U'mea Shana. All of a sudden, after we detail the 17 years, then we go back and say 147 total. Why does the Torah in that pasuk say Yaakov lived for 17 years in Egypt and 130 in Eretz Yisrael? If we're detailing Dafka, how many years Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim, 17. So tell me how many years he lived in Eretz Yisrael for. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Yisrael 17 shana. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Yisrael 130 shana. And then tell me the total. Why tell me the amount of years that he lived in Egypt for 17 and not tell me the amount of years that he lived in Eretz Yisrael? Why all of a sudden, Dafka, after the 17 years that we know that he lived in Egypt, does the Torah tell us the total amount of years of his life, 147, and not tell us how many he lived in the land of Israel for? So these are the seven or so questions that the Al-Sheikh, Rav Moshe Al-Sheikh asks in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, on the opening Pasuk, and on the last Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash. And he begins to answer all of his questions with the first question. Why is this a Parsha Stuma? Why is Parshas Vayechi piggyback Parshas Vayigash? And why is there not spacing, a larger break between Vayigash, Vayechi? Why does Vayigash go right into Vayechi? And he explains that really what's significant about Parshas Vayechi, and in order to understand the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, you have to go back to Parshas Vayigash. Really, Vayechi is not a new beginning. Vayechi is really piggybacking on Parshas Vayigash in a very, very extreme way. So extreme that the Torah does not give us any space between Vayigash and Vayechi because it begs of us to look back in Parshas Vayigash. Don't take a break between Vayigash and Vayechi. Go back to Parshas Vayigash to understand Parshas Vayechi, but it's specifically to Psukim that we saw last week, like the Netziv and like the Chassam Sofer, and we quoted from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Musar, in Maimer Osher HaChaim, who quotes the very same Psukim that we were struggling to understand last week. You remember the dialogue between Paro and Yaakov, when Yaakov arrives in Egypt. Take a look back in Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Ches, chapter 47, verse 8. Vayomer Paro el Yaakov. Paro asks Yaakov, Kama yimei shnei chayecha? How old are you? Remember, we saw these psukim last week. Very strange exchange and dialogue that takes place between Paro and Yaakov. And Paro introduces himself to Yaakov, asking him, how old are you? But look at the word that's used, says the Al-Sheikh. Look at it very carefully. Kama yimei shnei chayecha. How many years are you alive? And now look at Yaakov's response in Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Yaakov Aparo, yimei shnei migurai. Yaakov doesn't answer yimei shnei chayecha, the amount of years of my life. He says yimei shnei migurai, the amount of the sojourn, the amount of years that I've sojourned are shloshim u'mea shan, 130 years. Me'at v'ra'im ha'yu yimei shnei chayecha. My life is difficult, bitter, short and painful. And I didn't even, and I won't even live the amount of years of my father, my grandfather. Avram lived till the ripe old age of 175. Says Yaakov, I'm not going to live till 175 like my grandfather. My father Yitzchak lived till the year 180. I'm not going to live till the year 180. Yaakov, as we know in the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, lives for 137 years. So Yaakov tells Paro, not only is my life difficult, not only were it ro'im and ma'at, short and difficult, but I'm not even going to live to the years of the age of my father and grandfather. And the Al-Sheikh quotes this exchange and says, this is why Parshas Vayechi is a Parshas Tumah. Because to understand Parshas Vayechi in the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, you got to go back to Parshas Vayigash, to this exchange. And as we saw last week, this is a critical conversation that takes place between Yaakov and Par, because Yaakov reveals something about his life here. And the Al-Sheikh asks the question that when Yaakov speaks to Paro and says to him, I don't know, and I won't live till the amount of years of my life, of my father and grandfather, 175 and 180. I'm only going to live till the year 147. Ask the Al-Sheikh, how did Yaakov know that? Where did Yaakov know that from? It's true, he was a Navi. But did Yaakov know that he wasn't going to live till 180 or 175? How did Yaakov know at this point in this conversation, as he enters the land of Egypt and as he meets Paro for the first time, that he's only going to live to the 147 years? How does he know that? Question number one. Furthermore, asks the Al-Sheikh, when Paro asks him how old he is, why does he not answer that question? And why does he not answer it the way he was asked? He says, how old are you? He doesn't say that. He says, the years of my sojourn are 130, short and difficult years. And number three asks the Al-Sheikh, why does he go into such length and breadth and such specific description? He said, just asked you how old you are. That's all he asked. Paro just asked him how old he is. Why is he getting so dramatic and responding with such fervor and passion that the years of my life are so difficult and so short, and I'm not even going to reach the amount of years of the life of my father and grandfather? Number one, how did he know that? Maybe he would live to the amount of years of his father and grandfather, 175 and 180. And why is he being so specific and so sad and so glass half empty that he's not going to live for such a long life and such a painful amount of years that he lived? These questions also are raised by the Al-Sheikh and the Al-Sheikh, like the Netziv, like the Chassam Sofer, like the Gesher HaChaim that we described last week, expresses the same thought, but with a very, very powerful twist and difference as to what we saw last week. The Al-Sheikh explains that the word Chayim, like we described at the beginning of this year and as we described last week, doesn't mean quantity of years, but Chayim means life in terms of living with intense passion, with excitement, with fervor, with energy, and really with some level of tranquility. And what Yaakov is telling Paro, when he asked him, how old are you? He doesn't answer with such excitement, enthusiasm. Yaakov is being asked, how many years did you live, by Paro? How many years did you live a life of real, real living? And Yaakov says, none. Yimei shnei migurai, I don't even have years of life. I have none of it. The years were years of sojourn. And Paro is thinking, it's true, but still there has to be some years of life, some days, some weeks. And Yaakov says, no. Yimei shnei migurai shloshim u'me'ashana me'at v'rayim. Very, very short and very, very bad. And again, Paro's thinking, well, maybe within those years, there were some time that it was good. There was some time that it was positive. Says Yaakov, not even. It's true, my father and my grandfather, they went through difficulties. They struggled. They had challenges as well. We all know Avraham Yitzchak had challenges. But that's what Yaakov means when he said, I won't even reach the amount of years of the life of my father and grandfather. Of course, Yaakov didn't know that he wasn't going to live the amount of years of his father and his grandfather. But he knew whatever the amount of years of life that he would live, they would not even match those of Avram and Yitzchak in terms of the happiness, the joy, the nachas, the life that they lived. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, "V'lo hesigu es yimei shnei chayei avosai b'mei mugureyem." I'm not even going to reach the amount of years of their life. Not in terms of quantity of years. Maybe I will. But even their quantity of years when they lived for 175 and 180, even with all the challenges and the difficulties, the trials and tribulations, the pain and the suffering that they went through, at least they had some time, some minutes, some hours, some weeks, some months of joy, success, nachas, of real living, of life, of quality of life. Yaakov says, I had none of that. And thus Yaakov expresses to Paro, the 130 years of his life were all difficult, we're all painful, we're all sad, we're all bad. Yosef missing for upwards of 20 years, the abduction of Dina, the challenges he had from Lavan and from Esav were so difficult that they defined his life. It didn't allow him a minute. Remember when we said in Parshas Vayeshev, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva, Yaakov wanted some peace, some tranquility, some time to rest after the stress of Dina, after the stress of Esav, after the stress of Lavan. Kafetz of Lavrog shol Yosef, then the challenges of Yosef attack him. Yaakov doesn't have a minute to breathe. And if there's a minute that he does have, the pain, the suffering, the cognitive, mental, emotional challenges continue to sit on him and eat him. And he tells Paro, it's been really, really hard. It's been really, really difficult. And yes, even though my father, my grandfather struggled, suffered, it doesn't compare to my suffering and struggling, to my pain and my challenges and to the difficulties that I had, because they had some time to breathe. I had nothing. And therefore, when Yaakov is asked, Kami yimei shnei chayecha, how many years did you live? Yaakov responds very sadly, I didn't. Yimei shnei migurai, the years of my sojourn, I had no life. And yes, that's why I compare myself to my father, my grandfather, because I'll never reach their years. And thus, Yaakov tells us the struggles, the pain, and the suffering he has, and therefore says the Al-Sheikh, that's why Vayigash and Vayichi are one long parsha. Because now that we really understand Yaakov, and Yaakov has described himself, he's been very open, he's been very transparent, he's not hiding his suffering, his challenges, his difficulties, his trials and his tribulations, his familial struggles, his difficulties, his wandering. He's very open about it, and the Torah tells us not whitewashing anything. In Psukim Ches and Tes and Pas Perek Mem Zayin, Yaakov is open and honest that his 130 years have been bitter. Now that we know that, we go to the first pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. And it fits like a glove, says the Al-Sheikh. Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvas Reshana. Yaakov, like we saw from the Netziv, the Chsam Sofer, the Gesher HaChaim, he finally lived for the last 17 years of his life. Vayechi, he was alive. He had nachas, he had tranquility, he had calm. He finally was able to live the life that he was waiting to live for 130 years. It's the last 17 years of his life. And then the Torah continues and tells us, Vayhi yimei Yaakov shnei chayov, sheva shana v'arba'im mea shana. It doesn't give us the amount of years that he lived in Eretz Yisrael, 130, because says the Al-Sheikh, that the last 17 years of his life redefined his entire life. It redefined everything. Not like the Netziv, not like the Chsam Sofer, not like the Gesher HaChaim. It's not that there were two independent series of years of his life. It wasn't the 130 in Israel and the 17 in Egypt. And never shall the twain meet, and they're mutually exclusive. Says the Al-Sheikh that those last 17 years of his life defined his entire life. I'll give you an example. You know, we used to have something called a vacation. We used to travel. We used to go somewhere. You got on a plane, on a train, close your eyes. You could imagine for a minute going on vacation. You know, and sometimes you go on a vacation and it's an awesome vacation. It's great. But then the last day or two are really bad. the connection doesn't work out, the place you wanted to visit doesn't work, the family or the people you wanted to get together with, it doesn't happen. And in a way, it sort of defines the entire trip. You get on the plane, it's like the whole trip was terrible. You know, the last day didn't work out. I didn't get to see the site I wanted to see. I didn't get to see the people I wanted, the restaurant that we were supposed to go to. It wasn't open. And the whole trip sort of becomes like, it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. It defines the entire trip. Then you have other vacations where you go, and the first few days or time is really, really bad till you settle, till you get the hotel stay, and you meet the people you're supposed to meet, and the tour guide is horrible, whatever it is, and it doesn't go. But then the last day or two are so fantastic, that sort of gets you on the plane and brings you home, and that defines the entire trip. Sometimes, more often than not, the last moments of a week, of a semester, of a career, of life, define one's entire experience. Says the Al-Sheikh, that's what happened to Yaakov. Yaakov's last 17 years of his life define his entire life. His whole life is redirected, and he's able to look at his life in an entirely different way because the last 17 years of his life are one big happy emoji smile. And because of that, that changes the 130 years. And therefore, the Torah doesn't divide in this pasuk the 130 years and 17 years. It gives us the totality of the 147 years because everything was good. Even Yaakov struggling with Esav and with Laban, with Yosef and Dina. The glasses now that Yaakov is wearing are the glasses of the last 17 years of his life. And the Al-Sheikh goes on to explain, it's the end, it's the finale, it's the final minutes of life, it's the final years of life that really define a person's sense of self completely. And now Yaakov, with all the better and the difficulties and the struggles that he went through, it all changes because these 17 years define him. And therefore, look at the way the Torah describes in this pasuk. Vayhi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav, all of the years of Yaakov's life. It's not that we're only stressing in Parshas Vayechi the 17 years in Egypt, but we're looking at Yaakov's life in total. Vayechi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim shvasrei shana. Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. Vayhi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav, in the years of the life of Yaakov, 147 years, because those last 17 years of his life defined his entire existence. And therefore, explains the Al-Sheikh, that's the juxtaposition between Parshas Vayigash and Vayechi. And that's why there's no spacing and break between Vayigash and Vayechi, because you need to be able to understand Yaakov's expression to Paro when he tells him, Ma'at v'royim hoyu yumei shnei chaya yumei migurai. My sojourn was so painful and so difficult. And Yaakov was entering the land of Egypt, entering in such a state of sadness, of depression, because of everything that he went through. And all of a sudden, you have to read Vayechi, he comes alive. And those 17 years of his life are allow him to define him, who he is. And therefore, the Torah describes, says the Al-Sheikh, that the Jewish people settled in the land of Goshen, specifically at the end of Parashas Vayigash, because Yaakov sees his people separate. They settle in the land of Goshen, that they could be in the Golos, they could be in the diaspora, they could be far, far away from the land of Israel, spiritually and physically. And nonetheless, if they're able to live a life where they're in Goshen, where they're by themselves, the same way Yaakov was, when Yaakov im Lavan Garti, Vitaryag Mitzvot Shamarti, even though Yaakov was far away from Beis Yitzchak and his Saba Avraham, nonetheless, he was still living in the house of love and he was still keeping and committed to everything that he, his father, grandfather, that his God allowed him to be. And therefore, Yaakov saw that he left behind the legacy to his children, to his descendants, that they too can live in Egypt. And beyond that, they could thrive. Vayeachazuba, says the Al-Sheikh, doesn't mean that they acquire property. You know what they did? They thrived in a foreign land. They thrived far away from Eretz Yisrael. Vayifru, vayirbu me'od, and they did fantastically well. They did extraordinarily well. And therefore, Yaakov is able to sit back and to smile as he goes from a year and age, 130 to 140 to 147, with a big plastered smile on his face as he sees that his children are vayeachazuba. They're succeeding. They're in Goshen on their own. And therefore, the first pasuk in Parshas Vayechi doesn't stress that they're in Goshen anymore. Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. If you succeed in Goshen, you'll be able to expand your horizons everywhere. You don't have to stay tight because you're able to expand and be broader. If you're able to know who you are and what you're all about, if you understand your mission in life, as Yaakov sees his children, his descendants do, he's able to succeed fantastically well. And this is the approach of the Alshech explaining the juxtaposition and the final Parsha Vayechi being a Parsha Stuma, how Yaakov's last years of his life, his final years, when one could imagine that it's all over, batel, it's nothing, I have nothing left to give. Alshech says, no, it's just the opposite, bumfakert. Yaakov now at the end of his life is able to redefine his entire life based upon those last years. It ain't over till it's over. That's the Alshech's message to us, and that's his explanation of Parshas Vayechi. What I'd like to share with you in conclusion is a comment of Rav Hirsch. And Rav Hirsch, I believe, gives us a real strong takeaway from Sefer Bereishis as we prepare to begin Chumash Shmos, and I think it really fits like a glove with the comments of the Alshech. Listen to something awesome, that Rav Shimshon Ferl Hirsch says. And it's basically a summary of all of Sefer Bereishis. And if there's anything to remember, this is it. He notes as follows. Adam HaRishon had two sons. He had Cain and Hevel. Cain was the older, the stronger, the brighter, the more intelligent, the better, maybe even more better, good looking. Hevel was the youngest. And if you take a look, who is the child who becomes the spiritual heir to Adam? It's Hevel. Hevel becomes the child who is the continuity of the life of Adam. Not the oldest, not the strongest, not the brightest, not the best looking. It's Hevel. Now, yes, Cain kills Hevel. But why does he kill Hevel? He kills Hevel because there's something that Cain sees in Hevel that Cain is unable to imitate. He has something very unique. He has spiritual tendencies. He brings the right korbanos to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu finds favors vayarech as reach. He sees and he smells the scent of Hevel's offering. The same thing is true with Noach's three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yefes. Although we refer to Shem being the oldest, it's not true. Rashi points out in Parshas Bereishis, Shem is the youngest. And who is Shem? Shem is going to be the continuity of Noach, and it's from Shem that Klal Yisrael are built. It's not Cham and it's not Yefes. Cham and Yefes are the strongest. Yefes is Yaft Elokim Lo Yefes V'Yishkon Ba'al Shem. Yaft is the best looking. Yefes is Greece. Cham was strong, was mighty, was big. But it's Shem, the youngest of the children, who is the one who is going to be the heir of Noach and the one to ultimately the progeny to the continuity of Klal Yisrael. Avram has two sons, Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yishmael, of course, is the oldest. Yitzchak is the youngest. Who is going to be the heir? Who is going to receive Birchas Avram? Who is going to be the continuity of the Abrahamic dynasty? It's going to be Yitzchak, the youngest. Yitzchak has two sons, Esav and Yaakov. Esav's the oldest, the strongest. Gibor is Esav. Ish Tzayid, Ish Sadeh, the one who really Yitzchak loves. But it's Yaakov, the youngest, Ishtam, the Yoshev Olim, who's the spiritual heir of Yitzchak. The same thing is true with Yaakov. Yaakov has 12 sons, and it's the youngest of his sons. It's Yosef, who is going to be the continuity. It's not Reuven, it's not Yehuda, it's not Yisachar, it's not Zvulun. It's not the oldest, it's not the strongest, it's Yosef. And it's Yosef who, like Hevel, is chased after, who is killed. Cain kills Hevel. Yosef also is almost killed, thrown into the pit, sent into the dungeon. Who and what will we know about Yosef? Yosef has two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe, the oldest, Ephraim is the second. And it's Ephraim who receives the right hand of Yosef. It's Ephraim who is going to be the continuity of Yosef. Moshe is the youngest of all his siblings. David HaMelech is the youngest of all his siblings. Moshe is chased after. David HaMelech is chased after. Har Sinai, of course, is also the smallest, the shortest, the weakest, the hill, the mountain that is so low. Says Reb Shimshon of Frol Hirsch, like the Alshech, don't expect the early years right away that everything is going to be figured out. There needs to be patience and wait, because often it's the youngest child and often it's going to be the last years when you're going to see true success. That is why Hevel, Shem, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Ephraim, Moshe, and David, the youngest, were all the spiritual heirs and are part of the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. Just like Yaakov's last 17 years of his life redefined his entire existence and his entire life, so too it was the youngest, says Rav Hirsch, throughout Chumash Bereishis, throughout Sefer Bereishis, introducing us into Chumash Mos and into the Nevi'im, that is going to be. And explains Rav Hirsch, it's because sometimes the oldest, and sometimes with immediacy, there's an expectation should be perfect, and we should get it right away. Quick, fast, we'll discover America, and we'll be able to figure everything out, and we'll be able to get all the answers right away. Says Rav Hirsch, you see, it's just the opposite. It's the youngest, it's the David HaMelechs, it's the Moshe Rabbeinus, it's the Yaakovs, the Yosefs, the Ephraims, the Shames and the Hevels. They have something, they want it, they're running after it. The youngest has to prove himself or herself. The youngest has to try to figure out how to do something different than the older siblings, has to carve a path that has not been carved yet because the older siblings have already carved it out, and it forces a certain sense of work ethic and a certain sense of trying to figure things out differently than others have. And therefore, says Rav Hirsch, that's the defining factor in Klal Yisrael. We're the smallest people, we're the weakest people, and nonetheless, we are the ones who are always at the forefront because we're forced to be able to come up with successful ways to succeed spiritually, physically, emotionally, etc., etc., etc. So just like Yaakov's final years of his life, those last 17 years, when he thought it was all over, yes, you're going to have to work harder at the end of your life to succeed. But it's those 17 years, the end of his life, which redefined his entire life. And that's the reason why the youngest always as well is able to be the heir of the spiritual success of Klal Yisrael. Allow me to finish with one other thought, which piggybacks exactly this. It's a point that the Chafetz Chaim makes in Parshas Pinchas. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. In Parshas Vayigash, last week's Parsha, again, Parshas Vayigash Mayichi have to be understood as one Parsha. It's a Parsha Stuma. Something unbelievable. In Parshas Vayigash, the Torah tells us in Perek Memvav Pasuk Chav Gimel, Ubnei Dan, the Shevet Dan, how many sons did Dan have? One. Dan had one son. You know what his name was? Chushim. And what do you know about Chushim? He was deaf. Bnei Dan Chushim. It's a pasuk that has three words in it. Maybe one of the shortest psukim in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Bnei Dan, the children of Dan, Chushim, a deaf mute. Now, if I were to ask you, and if I were to ask Dan, you have a son, his name is Chushim, he's a deaf mute. What do you think is going to come from you and your Shevet? Dan would say, if I'm a betting man, nothing. What's going to come from my Shevet? I have one son and he's a deaf mute. Nothing's going to come from it. Take a look. The Torah tells us the pasuk right before, Bnei Binyamin. You know how many sons Binyamin had? The most of any tribe. 10. Listen to the pasuk. Bnei Dan. Bela uvecher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Echai, Verosh, Mupim, Bechupim, Vera. 10 sons Binyamin had. Good looking, strong, bright, intelligent. If I'm a betting man, who am I betting on? Binyamin or Dan to be the most successful tribe? Dan has 10 outstanding sons. 10. If I'm a betting my hand, I'm putting my money on Shevet Binyamin. And the juxtaposition between these two psukim, says the Chafetz Chaim, is obvious. The Torah is coming to tell us that Binyamin was extraordinary. Their potential was awesome. Done? Doesn't look like they're going to make it. Go to Parshas Pinchas. the census at the end of Parshas Pinchas in Chumash Bamidbar, before the Jewish people lived in the Midbar, and go to Eretz Yisrael. These two Shvatim, Binyamin and Dan, are juxtaposed next to each other in the count, in the census. And listen to this. Guess which tribe had a larger census? Is it going to be Binyamin or is it going to be Dan? The Torah tells us, Eile b'nei Binyamin l'mishpachosem b'kudeim. Perek Chavav, Pasuk Mem Aleph. Do you know the totality of the family of Binyamin? 45,600. That's Binyamin. Pretty large. Now the next Pasuk Mem Beis. Eile b'nei Dan. These are the amount of children of Shevet Dan. 64,400, 20,000 more children. Did Chushim ben Dan have then Binyamin? Says the Chafetz Chaim, it ain't over till it's over. Yes, Chushim had one son, a deaf mute. Don't stop counting, don't stop going till the end. Because at the end of the day, Binyamin with his 10 sons didn't equal the amount of progeny of children of success that Shevet Dan had from those three little words in one pasuk. One son couldn't hear. Bnei Dan Chushim, from one little kid who was a deaf mute, came 64,000. And from 10 sons, the sons of Binyamin, came 20,000 less. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's the message of Sefer Bereishis. Says Rav Hirsch, that's the message of Sefer Bereishis. Says the Alshech, that's the message of Sefer Bereishis. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. It's v'nis chazek. We keep on going. You never, ever stop. It's the youngest kid. It's the last years. Those are the years of success. Those are what we're going to see. Ultimate nachas, and the message of Chumash Bereishis is never ever to give up on anybody, on anything, on yourself or on your family, because we all know that it's the end that defines the beginning. As Chazal say, Hakol holech achar hachitum. Everything goes after the end. So let us continue. Let us continue to be strengthened. And as we shelve Sefer Bereishis, we shelve by saying chazak, chazak, but of course, v'nis chazek, let's get stronger, let's continue to push, let's continue to build, don't give up, and continue to see success at the end from the youngest and from every single other individual at the end of our lives. Wishing everybody a great week, a Shavuot Tov, a good Tovach.